Hi, everybody. I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record on my car ride home from work as an instructional coach. This week, we are talking all about WebQuests. If you've never heard WebQuests or heard of WebQuests, it sounds epic, and that's kind of by design. We'll get through that. These podcasts take about 10 minutes of time. The goal is to strike up a conversation and to give some ideas that can be actionable in your classroom, regardless of the content area or the grade level that you teach. And we take about 10 minutes to make these podcasts happen. That said, 10 minutes is never enough time to have a conversation. So to continue the conversation, I encourage you to feel free to shoot me a tweet. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU, and I would love to continue these conversations with you about how you're using WebQuests in your classroom or how you might be able to do it, with the ultimate goal of steel sharpens steel. We all get stronger by working together and figuring out, just how we do what we do. So that's that. But I'm going to talk about WebQuests, or that which I've come to know is called as WebQuests, for about the next 10 minutes or so, until I get all on the bridge and you hear the blinker and that's the end of the conversation. So, a bit about WebQuests. As you've probably figured out by the title, a WebQuest is a quest through the World Wide Web. Using the internet, students go looking for stuff. And this is a very fancy way to dress up what is otherwise pretty much just book learning. Hey guys, our goal for the day is to figure out topic X, Y, or Z. Today we have a WebQuest, and the idea is that you need to access resources 1, 2, or 3. Either that they're hyperlinked or posted on an LMS or maybe in a master document or even like using QR codes or something like that. And the goal is to find your way through the web to sort of scavenger hunt this information out. Now, if you're feeling really, really cagey in your design and ambitious, you are absolutely welcome to design a WebQuest where students have to actually visit multiple sites, 2 or 3 or 4 different websites, in order to find the information. So they start by site 1 and they figure out information item 1, whatever that is. But then they kind of make their way through, okay, so once you figure that out, that's the first piece of the puzzle. Now make your way through the second piece, and then that'll take them to a second website, something like that. You can likewise have it so that it's broken up or chunked so that you have a digital equivalent of what's known as like walking notes. So instead of giving a lecture from the front of the board, basically the same thing you would have put in slide 1 in your presentation or slide 2 in your presentation, they just come to find that information with like a guided Cornell notes that they have in their hand. And then they just sort of bounce between stations as they learn information. And the stations don't have to be physical. In this case, they're electronic digital visiting spots. That said, WebQuests are tough in some ways because as a quality assurance piece, if you're sending students to the open web, you can't always be sure that what they're going to find is stuff of value. So you do have to keep in mind some information about that. Ways to kind of WebQuest around that is you could feel free to shoot up or cook up the idea of like a menu. Like, hey guys, I want you to visit one of the websites from place column A. Listen to one of these short videos or podcasts from site B or piece B, and then take part in this reflection activity by way of site C, or whatever that could look like. Maybe that's even just, you know, good old-fashioned from chapter X of the book. So hypothetical WebQuests could be like, all right, guys, today we're exploring all there is to know about, insert your content here. And in order to do it, you need to have listened to a podcast or an excerpt of a podcast. You need to have watched a video or watched an excerpt of a video. And you need to have taken written notes from whatever this website X is. So you set the students a task, either individually or in small pairs or groups. And you'd really just let them kind of learn through exploring with a deliverable work product for each. At its most basic, a WebQuest could be a worksheet divided into 3 different chunks or 4 different chunks. And for each place they are supposed to visit, there is a written prompt that they're supposed to find there. So, for example, if you're at the podcast station, listen to podcast A, B, or C. Don't have to listen to the whole thing. Listen to about 5 minutes of the podcast. What were 2 things that stood out to you? Bullet point them here. What were 2 questions that you had? Bullet point them here. What was 1 thing that you learned? Bullet point it here. Again, very much like a Cornell Notes style. And then when they've accomplished that task, whether they listen to episode 1 of the podcast or episode 16 of the podcast, if the idea was they listened to some podcast or some part of a podcast, they were able to have completed that station and then move to the next stage of their quest, if that makes sort of sense. What I do like about web quests is that they can be completed oftentimes asynchronously. So it leads you as the classroom teacher the ability to kind of float about to make sure that as students are learning at their own pace, you can provide the support necessary, and like just an ear as they're kind of sounding things out, or an eye as they're kind of writing things out. So you float over to group four, or, you know, maybe two or three kids working together, and hey guys, what are you working on here? Oh, what are you finding interesting? Tell me why. Again, prompting that metacognition so that students are always discussing why they're acquiring what they're acquiring, and then they can help tie it back to the bigger picture. Web quests work great for stuff like breaking into a unit, a brand new topic or an idea for study. So if you had previously taught a unit on, and I use American literature, so let's say Huckleberry Finn. If you wanted to do a lecture on the history of the, you know, the antebellum South, or the story of segregation and slavery, or a historical article on things like carpetbaggers or scalawags, those are all standalone lectures that could probably take 10 to 15 minutes of your time. And that's great if you're dynamic and you can speak, and that's wonderful, and kids are engaged and really exciting. And then you, as you're doing that presentation, are likewise probably expecting them to write down notes on their, notebooks or their Cornell notes to kind of make sense of what you are saying. But what we find more often than not is that so much of what's delivered through traditional sit-and-get lecture-style instruction is not really retained. We tend to forget most of that which we're exposed to in a pretty quick timetable. And simply it's the matter of we're just writing information down on a page. We're not really processing the information or interacting with it in any meaningful way. And while it seems like a web quest is just a digital dress-up version of pretty much the same thing, what it does is it allows student choice to be the guiding way through the activity. And so individual students are writing down what they feel is most important in site one or from podcast two or from video three. And more than just responding to like fill in the blank questions, it's asking them to make evaluative judgment decisions. Like, what did you think was important? Tell me why. I did a web quest with my students when we were learning about the history of mental illness in the United States as it related to one of these novels that we were reading. Edith Wharton's book called Ethan Frome. And the students were doing a web quest on reasons that you could be admitted to an insane asylum in the late 19th century, all the way into the early 20th century. And I just sent them a link to an article online that talked about it. And it had like a list of like 100 different reasons that you could be committed. And it was for stuff as small as like having a fainting spell or having, postpartum depression, to stuff as weird or as crazy as abandoned by family or kicked by a mule. And the point of why we were looking at this was much more important than any of the individual points that would get you admitted. The point of the activity was, guys, locking people up in asylums was a crazy practice, and believe it or not, it was really easy to do it. And that individual students can find their way into that activity by finding what was craziest to them. That was the web quest. It was, go ahead, review this article, and write down a list of 10 things that you think are the most crazy reasons why people could find themselves committed to a mental institution. And what we did through that is individual students gravitated to different things. Some of my female students noticed there's a lot of things about just being a woman that gets you locked up in a society that was dominated by men. Likewise, some of my guys, who are all big, tough, and macho, were noticing stuffs involving soldiers coming back from war or soldiers dealing with what we now could identify as like post-traumatic stress. They're seeing that stuff, and then they're leaning in on the conversation, because the best part about a web quest is it makes students want to learn more. So as a pre-teaching activity for like Huck Finn, for example, you'd find crazy stuff that relates to the unit and say, hey, show me in this actual bill of sale of a slave auction, what stands out to you or what disturbs you the most? And let them explore those real-life artifacts. So you've made like a digital field trip in your classroom where they can see these realia or these items or these pieces of the culture that you're studying, and then lean in with some curiosity, like, hey, why did that happen? How could that work? which will further set the table for a great conversation on down the line with your seminars and your traditional lectures or really your projects or your presentations that they follow. So yeah, that's how web class works. There are some limitations to it. Certainly if you're using the open web, you do have to vet your sources and you have to trust your kids that they're going to be getting meaningful work done in each of those different locations. Obviously the work products too, how closely you check them and how much you want to sort of put your eyes on them is really up to you as an individual instructor. I love letting students learn through exploration, but also vetting that certain websites are off limits, because when you're Googling just an open search for stuff, the important part is that you as the teacher remember that you are always the curator of where you're sending your students on the web. And so to send them places that are safe and trusted and reliable is a big piece of it. So that's it for web quests, but I would love to continue the quest online with you. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm at MeehanEDU on Twitter, and we can talk more about web quests in your classroom or mine. Thanks again. There's the blinker, and I guess I'll see you guys next time.